Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Third hour, Darren, Donnie, and Chase on this rainy Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a good day. A lot of you are working from home during COVID-19, the pandemic that's going on in our country, in the world. You can stream us from anywhere. Speaking of the world, you can stream us from anywhere you are. Download the Game Nashville app, enable our Alexa skill or Google Home, and ask them to play 102.5 The Game or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. And as I said, Alexa, the Alexa in my room, she lit up. Did you hear that? Did you hear? She's happened. Talking. Now she stopped. Yeah, she started talking. I don't know what she just said, but just reading that, Alexa lit up. She was very excited. You ever just ask random questions to Alexa? Like, how old are you?
Yeah.
You know, are you pretty? Oh,
don't get my like kids that. Started on that. A few years ago, man, they used to do that to Siri all the time. Just, hey, Siri, you know, just the goofiest stuff that you could think of. Or get Siri to, instead of calling you by your name, call you by some other nickname.
Her. I was going to say, I'm hearing somebody's going off right now. It's a fun game. Sometimes you get some pretty funny answers. Not good news, guys, on the basketball front. We talked about some of the crazy stuff that's going on out there. Do we have Keith on? All right, we'll stop. We'll come back. Not good news in China as they started to restart their league, and that has been delayed. We will bring in right now Keith Bullock. Let's say good afternoon to him on this Tuesday. Keith, how you doing? How you hanging?
Doing good, man. How's everything going with you guys?
Well, it's weird, but we're all going to get through this together. But it's strange, you know, not having any sports. We sit here and do a four-hour talk show every day with virtually no new news for the most part. Nothing, no games to talk about. But like I said, we'll get through it. How about on your end?
I mean, that's got to be tough for you guys, but at least, you know, you guys are getting a chance to be creative and people can come to the station and hear your guys' voice for, you know, to change up during the day. But for us, it's cool, man. Our kids are just doing some homeschooling and just laying low, like kind of like everybody else. I would say the biggest adjustment is, you know, having the kids being at home and schooling them from home. But, like anything else, we're resilient and we just adjust and, you know, we'll get, like you said, we'll get through it and, you know, look for much, much better days.
Your body probably appreciates retirement. Your family appreciates retirement. But what has been the toughest thing for you, Keith, life after football? Because that's what you knew for so long, right? You had that regimented schedule. You kind of knew every, you know, this time of year I'll be doing this, this time of year I'll be doing this. What is life after football taught Keith Bullock?
I would say, like, the toughest thing for me was facilitating. Unfortunately for me, my agent passed away, like, right after, you know, that was part of a reason of me retiring. So you know, facilitating, you know, maybe how to get on radio, television, school, want to pursue my master's, all those different things, those things were a challenge, but that, you know, really just taught me to get out and get it on my own, taught me how to, you know, transition from football and really, you know, like I just said, be resilient on my own to reach out to the different people that I met through my journey through as an NFL player and figure out how to get into George Washington and get my MBA, how to, you know, facilitate different businesses, real estate and entertainment, things that I want to do. So, you know, it's all been a journey. It's been just as interesting and fun as, you know, the NFL was. But, you know, life after football definitely is a little different.
The NFL said they are going to go as planned with the draft, not as planned. I guess, you know, that's not the right way to say it. There's not going to be fans like there were in Nashville, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of fans. Las Vegas is not going to get to take that in. And, you know, it's going to be done differently, but it's going to be done on the date that has been set. So there's going to be an NFL draft at the end of, we go into April tomorrow. What was that moment like for you? And the Titans have a lower pick like they had when they selected you in the first round, a lower first round pick. And they got Keith Bullock, a guy that we look back and say, wow, what a home run pick with that pick. What was that moment like for you? What was it like getting seeing all your hard work at Syracuse pay off with a first-round selection?
It was pretty cool. It was very different in the sense that only, you know, if you're one of the top five picks that you went to New York City, whereas now – you know, first, second round guys, definitely all the first round potential guys, are invited to the draft, and it's a huge event, and, it's a great event. But for me, it was more family, close friends, and, you know, at my brother's house, and, you know, waited that long 5 hours to be called, the first round pick of the Tennessee Titans at pick number 30. But, once that was gone past me, you know, I actually came down to Nashville the next day, you know, met with Jim Schwartz, Jeff Fisher, coaching staff, you know, kind of got acquainted and, you know, was right back here pretty much 2 weeks later. And that was the start of my NFL career.
Mm. We have, as you mentioned, you're aware of our bracket. We unveiled it yesterday on the show, and today we are doing the Jeff Fisher region for the listeners to vote on. You're in the Jeff Fisher region. You're in control right now. You're the 3 seed. You have heavy voting going your way. Steve McNair's the 1 seed, heavy voting going his way. So both of you in control, and also Javon Kearse as the 5 seed right now, beating up on Jay Cutler. So in control. You played with both of those guys. What was it like playing with the Freak and Steve McNair, going up against him in practice?
Well, Steve McNair, you know, first time I got introduced to him was when he was Air McNair at Alcorn State, I believe, just like everyone else. So as a young, you know, high school, junior high kid watching him play at Historic Black College, Historic Black University, to see what the things that he was doing and almost probably should have won the Heisman that year was amazing. And then, you know, as I got to Syracuse – and followed his career on the Houston Oilers. I used to play with them on Madden because actually Eddie George was one of my favorite players because I played running back in high school, and he was someone like a bigger running back that I could kind of look to and, you know, kind of look at his style. But when Javon Kearse, he was someone we played in the Orange Bowl in 98. I believe we played the Gators, and, you know, the Freak was the Freak. He's always been the Freak. And to come to the Titans and him actually being the first person to, you know, welcome me here in the cafeteria that day, you know, after winning Rookie of the Year, breaking the rookie sack record. And, you know, that's the guy I have to follow up. You know, there was no pressure at all. But, you know, those two guys, man, you know, they told me a lot about the game of football on and off the field. And unfortunately, I don't get to spend, none of us get to spend any time with the late, great Steve McNair. But fortunately, his legacy lives on. And Javon Kearse and I still keep in touch and are still friends to this day.
We're talking to Keith Bullock, former Titans linebacker. And, of course, as we have mentioned a couple of times, the 3 seed in the Jeff Fisher region in our Nashville sports bracket. And he's got a comfortable lead right now in the first round. Keith, I'm curious, growing up, And I've watched you play. I played a little pickup basketball with you way, way back in the day. So I know you played a lot of hoops growing up. But how did you develop your skills? I'm kind of in this mindset right now where, you know, everybody who knows a young athlete that's trying to stay in shape, you have to get creative right now how you do it. But just how did you develop your all-around skills when you weren't playing football growing up?
Well, I mean, look, I grew up in the era where you had to go outside. You know what I mean? I grew up in a community where we lived in, like, apartment complex, condominium complex, where there was about 15 to 20 kids. So we're always going to have a five-on-five basketball game. We're going to play six-on-six baseball. We're going to play lacrosse. We're going to skateboard. We're going to do all those different things that, you know, kids do. And I think as I got older and got into sports, I always was a three-sport athlete. And, you know, I definitely attribute a lot of my football skills, hand-eye coordination, to being able to play shortstop, play center field, you know, basketball, catching the ball, those type things. But I think for me, football-wise, I always played safety. I always played running back or wide receiver and even a little bit of quarterback. So to end up a linebacker was pretty crazy. And I think that those positions that I got to play early, and especially those 2 years at safety at Syracuse, really put me head and shoulders above, skill-wise, above the average linebacker that, you know, might have been out there.
Did they recruit you at Syracuse to play defense, or were you hoping that they would keep you at a skill position or play somewhere else? Who was it that maybe funneled you towards your eventual spot at linebacker?
Well, yeah, now that's funny because I was recruited by several schools to play running back. I was an all-state running back, but you know, like I said, you know, I didn't want to. I was a big target, 6'3". I'd rather give the hits than take the hits. So I made that decision to just kind of go to school, like look at schools that really wanted me to play safety. My number one school was Michigan, but they wanted me to play linebacker. And in my eyes, a linebacker was Lawrence Taylor, Carl Banks, those type guys. You know, I wanted to be Ronnie Lott. So when I got to Syracuse, they actually changed my position after I redshirted a year, and that's kind of how I got into the linebacker position.
We're talking to Keith Bullock, Titans legend, here with us on Darren Donick and Chase. And you guys did so much in the early days, as we talked about. You got here in the 2000 draft, but for so long we've talked about those teams, you know, led by Jeff Fisher and Steve McNair and yourself. Now when you look at the Titans and what they've been able to do over the last couple years with Mike Vrabel and try and build this thing back to where everybody hopes it should be, what do you see out of the Titans now that maybe you can compare to some of the things that you guys did back in the day?
I think their approach offensively this year kind of, you know, showed a lot. You know, they went more to – they used a – attacking style running a running game. You know, they kind of set the tone by the use of their running game. I think defensively, we didn't blitz. We didn't have as many blitz packages as them. We kind of were just like a 4-3 team and, you know, just kind of sat in our defense and kind of, you know, exchanged punches with you. So I think that they do a great job of showing offenses different looks and attacking them from the safety position, the cornerback position, like the linebacker, and is of course a defensive line position. So, you know, the game has changed so much that it's hard to compare like teams from this era to teams from, you know, damn near almost, you know, 10, 20 years ago. But I think that's what those guys do well. They play well, as a team, and they respond well to their coaches. And I think that's what's important. What's going to be interesting to see is how they respond off of going to the AFC Championship game. Do they come back hungry, or do they come back off of a AFC Championship high? I think, you know, they come back hungry, but, you know, we'll see.
As someone that played back in those days of going to the AFC title game, like you guys did, and the success that you have, do you, I mean, I know you have to feel good for these guys seeing them have this success and get back to where we're not always talking about Eddie George or Keith Bullock or Steve McNair. Now you're talking about Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, some of the players of today.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that for them, and I think that was the best part for me about their playoff run. You know, I felt like those guys were getting the opportunity to, you know, chisel their mark into Titans history. You know, that team will always be remembered as a team, you know, that got to the AFC Championship, you know, with their tremendous run. So that's what it's all about. You know, it's all about, you know, having fun first and foremost, but then figuring out a way that, you know, you can be on those teams that make history. You know, you definitely want to be, you know, the best player you can be, but even if you are just a role player on a team that, you know, plays deep into the playoffs or eventually goes to the Super Bowl, you know, when you're retired 10 years from now, those are the teams and those are the times that you're going to remember.
You played against Mike Vrabel, obviously, when he was with New England and, you know, throughout his career, but what have you seen out of him as a head coach that you also saw when he was a player?
I think he's a straight shooter. You know what I mean? He's a linebacker, you know, comes from Pittsburgh Steelers organization to the New England Patriots organization. And those two organizations, I feel that's what you get. You know, it's real football. You know, they're not going to sugarcoat too much. You know, they're going to tell their players what they need to know in order to be successful. So just from hearing the players, how they might, you know, talk about how things are run. And you got to remember, as players, you're never going to 100% agree with your coach, like regardless. I'm sure Braves didn't always agree with Belichick or Cowher, but at the end of the day, if you want to be successful and want to win, you're going to fall in line. And it seems like those are the type of players that, you know, the Titans have in their locker room. And it, I always look at things start from the top up, top down, I'm sorry.
Keith, we've got about 8.5 hours of voting. The listeners are going to vote. You're going up against Ingle Martin. If you get into the second round, you're going to get the winner of Shane Foster and Derek Barnett. Those are two are battling right now, back and forth. So we'll see how it all plays out. You need to maybe get on Twitter, tell everybody to vote for you. It's going to be an interesting region. It's always good to talk to you. You and the family be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
I appreciate you having me. You guys be safe, too.
All right, that is Keith Bullock right there with us. Always good to talk to him. Keep the votes coming in. We'll check on the votes on the other side. At the bottom of the hour, should be able to hear a little bit from the captain, Roman Josi. He was speaking today on an NHL conference call, and we'll have that at some point this hour. Thomas Vokoun coming up at 1 o'clock. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. Appreciate Keith Bullock for joining us. Really good interview with him. Always good to catch up with Keith. Remember, keep those votes coming in. In fact, where are we? Let's get a little bit of an update quickly.
I'm in Bellevue. I don't know where you are.
Oh, that's good stuff there, Chase. That's funny. You got you got one-liners, huh?
Yeah.
Be here all week.
I don't have anywhere else to go. Well, I don't have anything else to do.
Well, speaking of that, and we'll come back to the voting, there is some breaking news that involves our market, our area. We know CMA Fest is a big deal in our town, and it's the first week of June, and no surprise here, just it was a matter of when, right? Not a matter of if. And it has unfortunately been canceled for 2020. So CMA Fest 2020 has been canceled due to obviously COVID-19 concerns. And so just wanted to pass that along. That's come down in the last 10 minutes or so. And so no CMA Fest in our town. Like I said, that was the first week of June. And no surprise, I was bringing up as we were trying to get in touch with Keith, so we were in a little bit of a stall, that China, you know, they're behind us. And, you know, they've gone through all this. So their waves, they've gone through. We're you know, it's all what's happening with us has already been going on for a while over there. And so they were trying to get past this and see where they were and start up their basketball league. Well, that has been delayed and does not look like that's going to happen anytime soon. I don't know what you guys thought about that, but I'm not surprised. I'll just put it this way. And let's just say this. I also have talked to a couple people that I'm trying to figure out how, what's the best way to say it. That's a little bit of their area of expertise, and let's just say they're not exactly on board with some of the reports that are coming out of China that everything is okay.
Right.
In other words, their government may be, you know, trying to fudge the truth a little bit on, you know, what's going on and them returning to normalcy. I'll just leave it at that.
I think that's a good way to put it.
Well, we mentioned this yesterday, too. You know, people were going to be watching very closely to see if China could pull off in any way, shape, or form what they were hoping to, because that would have been the model for other sports to maybe try it, or if they wanted to even consider it. You know, they could take the results and see if that could work conceivably for their league. But I don't know. It's tough. As we talked about, so many logistical hurdles.
Yeah. And also, I've been seeing stuff out there, floated out there, that they're pretty close to Wimbledon being canceled as well. I haven't seen anything official of you guys.
I haven't seen anything, but I've heard that just like you have. So, look, I think that everyone is kind of in the mindset, or they should be in the mindset, to accept that things are not going to go back to normal for a while, and this is the new normal, and just what we're all going to have to deal with, at least in the foreseeable future, of that there may not be, you know, there may not be sports for a while, or these big events like CMA Fest and others, you know, they're going to be canceled or postponed. But that's just kind of where we are as a society. And like you said earlier, Darren, I think it is okay to be upset about it, to complain a little bit, but also if you have the mindset of we need to accept it and do our part to help fix the problem, and the sooner we do that, the better off we'll be, and you know, we'll be able to return to normal sooner rather than later if we all do what we need to do.
Yeah. What did you guys make of the decision yesterday that came down about these spring athletes? Remember, it's just the spring athletes only, not winter sports. So in other words, basketball does not apply, even though obviously they didn't get to finish their season, but the spring athletes get another year of eligibility.
I thought it was interesting. I read some of the articles that were written on it, and what they have done is they've basically said the right thing to do is to grant this extra year of eligibility. And I think they made the right call there. Now, what they have done is allow the individual schools to determine how much financial aid they're given. So let's just say that, Darren, you play lacrosse for, you know, pick a school, Johns Hopkins, great school, right? Great program, mm-hmm. Or Maryland. Yep. Uh-huh. Let's just take a powerhouse. And let's say you have a 50% scholarship. I don't know how they work there, but let's say you're getting half of your school paid for, and Chase is a great third baseman for, let's just pick LSU, right? And you get a 33% scholarship. It's been left up to the schools to decide, hey, Chase, you know, I want you back. We'd love to have you on the team, but I can only get you 20%. Or I don't know, how or I can't give you the financial aid. I got too many guys coming in, the freshman class. I got a bunch of juniors that are coming back that I thought were going to go to the draft. And Darren, the same thing is for you. I can't get you 50%, but I can get you 33%.
Now, wait a minute. I thought that wasn't going to apply. I thought that wasn't going to, like, it wasn't going to hurt you with scholarships, that they basically were giving the people, you know, the guys that, or the athletes, excuse me, the athletes that choose to come back and take advantage of that, they basically don't count. I thought that's the way it was worded. No?
That's correct. That's okay. Correct. You can give them the scholarship, but the question is, does the school have the money to fund the scholarship?
Well,
and some will have an easier time than others. They are not obligated to give you the financial aid. That's the tricky part.
I'm the middleman here, okay? I'm just the messenger. I heard Jay Billis talking about this. I think we all think Jay Billis is a pretty smart cat, right? He gets it. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree.
Jay Billis is a good analyst. He said for any school that puts out there they can't afford to do it, he said it's just total bunk. He said don't believe it. It's ridiculous. He said, first of all, you know, a lot of the spring sport athletes aren't even on scholarship, you know, or partials or whatever. He's like, don't let schools or universities or colleges tell you they can't afford to do that. He said it's bunk. He was really, really adamant and very strong about what you just threw out there, Willie.
Right.
Like I said, I'm just the messenger.
I would expect that. I would expect that from Jay. That's been a consistent message from Jay Billis for a long time. He's been very critical of the NCAA in a lot of ways. But I try to look at it as, you know, I agree with him in a lot of cases for a Vanderbilt, a Michigan, a Duke, you know, a Power 5 school should be able to find a way to get the funds. Now, they estimate that depending on the school and depending on how many sports you have, remember, it's guys and girls, right? It's not just
correct.
You know, not just baseball. We're talking about all the spring sports. So it could be between $500,000 and $700,000 worth of scholarships for every school. Now, on top of that, let's also consider the possibility that football season is going to be affected by this whole pandemic, right? That the attendance might not be quite what it has been, or maybe the season gets pushed back. There's a lot of possibilities there which will affect the ability for schools to fund the scholarships the way that they normally do. So it's not a normal year. Under normal circumstances, I think I would agree with Jay 100%. And let's also consider schools like Austin Peay or Middle Tennessee, or, you know, let's go down the line, Lipscomb-Belmont, you know, that don't have quite the budget that a Power 5 school would have to just write the check and spend the scholarship money. So I just don't know if it's as easy as Jay's making it out to be.
Yeah, and that's what's so tough about it. I mean, this is one of those situations that, A, they've never been faced with, and, B, it's you're not going to please everybody. That's the unfortunate part of it. And this entire situation, not just with the NCAA, I mean, there are going to be a lot of instances of, well, you're just not going to make everybody happy, and it's not going to be fair to anyone. So I will say that I applaud the effort of trying to make things right, but I also, you know, I kind of get the position that everybody's in on this, that you're going to have to roll with it, and there are going to be some hurt feelings in it, and that's just the way it is.
I hope each school can find a way to put the puzzle together, one way or the other. They've been given the leeway to do it the way they see fit. I can see some, you know, let's just say let's just take
Let's take Vanderbilt for. Let's do
okay.
I think I know where you're going with this, and because I wanted to bring this up, I think this is where you're going. So Tim Corbin is one of those powerhouse schools. It's just like Nick Saban at Alabama, right? I made the mistake of talking about all these thoroughbreds, all these studs waiting their turn, you know, all these five-star kids just waiting in line to play, and one leaves, next guy up, and, you know, I got a nice leg slap for that. Like, how dare you bring that up? Vanderbilt, Tim Corbin, you know, he's got all these studs. He's got all these – and so how do you juggle if you think a guy was on his way out and you've got the replacement ready, how do you handle the telling the replacement, yeah, I'm going to need you to wait another year if you don't mind. He's coming back. So how do coaches handle that dynamic, and should incoming kids, if they realize they're going to get pushed back and they're going to have to wait because kids are coming back at their position or what have you, it's going to affect where they didn't think it was, should they be able to transfer with
Ooh.
No penalty?
Now, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. I don't know. It didn't really discuss that part of it. With the news release, what the committee did, I would imagine, though, it's a natural consequence that in a day and age where you already see a higher number of transfers than you have in the past in all sports, I would think this would create a wave of those too, Don't you think? The other thing I was thinking about, guys, and there's so many scenarios that will come up. I saw Kendall Rogers, who follows, he runs the D1 baseball. He is one of those aficionados who really follows college baseball. That's his thing. He was fielding a lot of questions like this, right, because of baseball in particular, the draft-eligible juniors, the players that come from junior college, you know, guys who are sophomores but old enough to qualify for the draft after their sophomore year, like Philip Clark that we talked to a bunch of times from CPA last year. There's just a lot of different ways that this can create a logjam with this. I was thinking of, let's say you're a senior, you're on a full scholarship or at least a half a scholarship, but you're not a really valuable player, right? Let's say you're on the bench, right? You're not playing a whole lot. You want to come back just to be a part of the team. But the coach is like, oh, man, I got all these freshmen coming in. He's not going to play much for me. I'd love to have him back, but do I cut the scholarship there? That'd be a hard thing for a coach to do, you know, because it affects the family. You know, treat players differently based on how valuable they are to your team?
Oh, that's just natural. Whether it's like I was saying, whether it's fair or it's not, I mean, that's going to be what happens. I mean, if I'm a stud, you know, first baseman or whatever, I'm going to help the team, then I'm going to get treated differently than the backup. That's life. That's sports. Fair, unfair, that's just the way it is. And that's what a lot of schools are going to be faced with during all of this.
Tell you what, it's a nice gesture. It's actually the NCAA starting to use some common sense, which they have been just absolutely banged on, beat over the head, and just told how stupid sometimes they are with some of these rules and how they have no common sense. You know, I actually applaud them for this. Is the right thing to do, and rarely have I ever said that about the NCAA. It's the right thing to do, but it's not going to be easy to figure out how the coaches and the schools are going to make all this work, right? I just don't think it's as simple as saying, okay, great, then how about all the other logistics? That's great that you told them they all can come back and get another year of eligibility, but what does that mean for my roster, scholarships, playing time? How does all this work? So, it does create a new set of problems, even though I do believe it's the right thing to do.
Well, I think to illustrate your point, Darren, Dana O'Neill from The Athletic did a great article with just a guy that plays lacrosse for Princeton, right? He's a really good lacrosse player. And, you know, I guess there is a professional lacrosse league. I think that there still is, right? And maybe there's a chance for somebody like that to continue. He's pretty good, right? But for 99%, like we're talking college baseball, where at least some guys, there's minor league baseball, there's more ways to maybe continue to play somewhere. But for so many of these kids, and they were illustrating a senior, you played five games and you think that's it, right? I'll never play again. So the joy that these seniors are getting just to know that you can come back, right? It's not over. We'll find a way. We'll figure it out. We'll do what we got to do, but I can still play. Like the joy that those athletes are feeling today, that's worth it, right? It's worth the complicated puzzle that is lying ahead.
Yeah. Chase, what do we have on the results right now of the Jeff Fisher region? What are we looking at?
Well, again, you can vote until 9 p.m. tonight on our Twitter account at 102.5 The Game. So the one seed, Steve McNair, with 94% running away with it over Ian Clark, the 16. Taylor Lewan pulling away from Thomas Vokoun. Taylor Lewan, the boy, as he is referred to, 71% over, ironically, 29%
well,
for
wait
Thomas
a minute.
Vokoun.
Wait a minute. We have a developing situation here. We have a campaign manager that has stepped up for Thomas Vokoun named one Chris Mason. Put out the word.
Oh.
He's put out the word to Smashville.
Okay.
He said, let's give Voki some love here.
Okay.
He was the backbone of this team for many years.
Hopefully
so maybe that could sway the vote.
Late, but every little bit will help.
There's still time.
There is time.
I've been wanting to do this. So the 13th seed, Vince Young, with 33% to the 67% of P.K. Subban, the fourth
PK's
seed.
PK's cruising.
Yes, he is. Javon Kirst, the freak, 80% over the 20% of the 12th seed,
wow.
Jay Cutler. This continues to be the closest battle that we have. The 11 seed Derek Barnett, 52% over the 48% of the 6 seed Shane Foster of Vanderbilt. Tennessee versus Vanderbilt right now.
This is tight. It's tight. Commodore Keith, fans, where are you at? Let's go.
Keith Bullock,
all-time leading scorer.
Keith Bullock, who we just had on, the 3 seed, 94% over the 14 seed Ingle Martin. With 6%, and then R.A. Dickey trailing Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill has 57% over R.A. Dickey's 43%, and the captain, Roman Josi, 94% over the 15 seed Chantel Anderson with 6%.
Speaking of the captain, Roman Josi, Elijah, do we have Roman Josi today, the NHL conference call? Are we ready for that?
I just had it emailed to me, and I have been shifting through it here and getting some of the good stuff.
Okay. Well, we may not have it this hour after all, but we'll, if we do, we will play some of that. We will have Thomas Vokoun at 1 o'clock. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. I just got this, and selfish reasons, I just want to get your all's opinion because it was just sent to me, and I'm just trying to figure out what it means. I think I know what it means, but I'm trying to remain calm. For good reason. I'm trying to remain calm. What do you guys make of – so this is Tennessee Game 7. These are the tournaments that we play in, and I'm just going to read you what they just put out there, okay? Just put out. Game 7 Baseball has extended their 2020 season. Game 7 Baseball will be extending the 2020 season to October 31st, 2020, instead of the current dates or the current date of July 31st, 2020. This will allow teams to play in their 2020 age division through October 31st, 2020. Your 2020 sanction fees will carry through October 31st. The 2021 season will begin on November 1st. So is that what I think it is? It's saying that it's going to go that through October is basically what's going to get lost this spring is going to carry through.
To what like, it sounds like,
right? Is that what
I guess it? I guess that's what it sounds like. I would say that it's a good possibility. It's interesting that they would be making the call now. It's probably.
Right.
Still
it is.
Not
I agree.
In the calendar month of April. But
yeah.
I think a lot of organizations like that run tournaments in the fall up until around that date anyway, you know, towards the end of October. I would imagine it's going to be a very busy fall baseball season in a lot of ways.
Well, I know,
ways,
but is this saying basically fall is going to be spring? Because remember, I told you, and this we were kind of laughing. We were joking with R.A. Dickey, who joined us in the first hour. The sad part, once again, I get it, perspective. This is just our little world. I know we got bigger problems and bigger things going on out there, but everybody's lives are affected. And in this case, it's saddened me because our boys are expected to move into kid pitch in the fall. So this is the last season of coach pitch in spring. So is this saying that basically spring is going to turn into the fall? Everything will remain the same, and then after October 31st, then everybody makes the switch. But it wouldn't really technically start until spring.
So right? clarify that. Is this your league you're talking about, or is this?
This is the tournaments this is one of the outfits that most people, you know, this is a big, Game 7 is not only in Tennessee, but they're in other states. It's basically.
So this is something that you were going to participate in.
Oh, yeah. That's what, like okay. Last season, that's what all of our tournaments were Game 7.
Gotcha.
Like Willie, okay. I guess, I don't know, did you do this with Mahoney? I don't remember.
Yeah, we did a lot of Game 7.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you were down at Barfield, right?
Many times.
Yeah, I thought it was just like you told me you were at Barfield a lot.
Yeah, Mahoney's first over-the-fence home run at age, I guess it was age 11, was at the Barfield Park. So, yeah,
was
a lot of great memories.
Was that the video there. With Aaron?
Oh, that was the video, yes.
Oh,
famous commentary
nice.
by
was that
Aaron Donick.
Was at Barfield?
That was at Barfield, yeah.
I even remember that.
That's outstanding.
Well, Darren, I think you were sitting at the table with me. We were at dinner. You, me,
yes.
Ryan Porth, right? And Chase, yes. I don't know if were you at the Stanley Cup final? You might have been there with us.
No, I wasn't on the
road. I said, I got the text, right? And at first, I got the text that it happened. Then I got the video a couple minutes later. I went running outside to watch it. So that was a big moment. That's when it happened during the 2017 final. But so Game 7 is an organization that runs a series of tournaments. There's more than one organization that runs the travel ball tournament.
USSAA,
but that's
is
a big
another one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they go all the way through. You know, they'll have a lot of youth. You know, at all the age categories. So I think all of these youth organizations. I'm sure the travel soccer community is going through this. You know, all of the organizations that run tournaments are having to figure out how to deal with this, especially when you plan way in advance at a tournament. Let's say one weekend you're planning on going to Knoxville with a team. Another weekend, maybe you're going over to a tournament in Jackson, Tennessee, or down in Birmingham. I mean, all around the region, and of course, all around the country with different sports, you have these complexes. And you might have seen Real Sports with Brian Gumbel talk about the business of it. You know, a lot of times it's small towns whose economies, you know, they built these complexes because they can service them a lot better than maybe a big city, right? Because they have the space and the hotels. I mean, that's a big, big thing for business there, and they're all having to juggle it.
Well, a prime example is some fields that haven't even opened yet because they were supposed to be open now, and it's too bad. Willie, you should see this complex. It's called Cedarstone. It's right by Stewart's Creek. The high school, the middle school, and the elementary, it's like right across the street. It's a new complex they built, brand new. Like I said, it was supposed to open now. Like this is going to be USSAA, and also Smyrna Rec. A lot of the Smyrna Rec is going to be playing there. It's four fields, four brand new complex. It's beautiful. All fields are completely turf, infield, outfield.
Oh, wow.
The whole thing is turf. It's really cool, and it's too bad because Mahoney. It's not. He's too old. He'll never play on those fields. They're all
right.
The 200-foot fences.
I know you guys like to go to the Gatlinburg area. They've got a beautiful complex with all turf fields. I mean, I would recommend Darren someday take a team over there.
We will.
That'd be fun for you to do.
Yeah, because everybody I've talked to, they've all done it at some point. Gone to the Gatlinburg. It's more on the Pigeon Forge side, isn't it?
Yeah, Pigeon Forge. I think that's right. I get confused on which one is where, but they got a great win there. Jackson, Tennessee, right near the AA ballpark that's right off of I-40, hosts a lot of. They have a complex that's really geared for tournaments like that. Anytime you're driving to Memphis, you go right by it on your left, you know, the big AA park. So just about a mile away from there, they've got this huge complex with all kinds of youth fields, and they run tournaments throughout the summer. It's a big part of their economy there. So these are the things that you think about, right? Just from our prism of, you know, how we're trying to manage through all of this stuff created by the crisis that we have.
And I say all this to bring up just what we've been talking about, and it's why, unfortunately, I keep sticking with this theme, and I hate it because it's not the answer I want to give. I'm just trying to be, if you're asking me to give a truthful answer, at least what I believe, and just trying to be realistic about things, I just think it's going to be virtually impossible to salvage a season that hasn't been completed. I think it's going to be hard. I think if you want to try to, you know, do the other, or maybe you come back, or maybe this is the new mindset, guys. You come back later, much even later than you thought. July, kind of, you know, what's been floated out there before, kind of the July, August, September as your window, and then you realize that you're going to start much later because that is the fear we've been talking about, right? That then what happens once you get into, because everybody knows that once you get to, especially like November, then this whole risk thing, and we're right back until the vaccine, you know, until we come up with something, a vaccine, this is going to be a problem again once we get back to cold weather. So maybe you look at it that way, because if you're trying to start back up normal, in the case of hockey and the NBA, that's in the month of October. You get cranked up, you get going, and then you hit a wall again, you know? So how do you handle that? So I don't know. I don't know what's – I would not want to be in those rooms trying to figure all this out because it's really, really hard, and I don't know what the right answer is.
I don't know if anyone really knows what the right answer is, Darren. I mean, that's the world in which we live of we're all kind of guessing and going, maybe this – I don't know. That's just kind of where we're at.
Well, what we're figuring out is all this, you know, this bunk about – you know, this going to be anytime soon. We've just realized that all sports, everything, and now CMA Fest, all this stuff, Bonnaroo, all that stuff is canceled. So we realize that we are way past April. We're way past May.
Bonnaroo's been moved.
Bonnaroo's been moved right to later. I'm just saying, yeah, well, in this case, CMA Fest, there looks like they're canceling it, right? In other words,
yep,
there's not going to be one in 2020.
But you have to, you know, I was talking to somebody about that. Think about where their big event is. I mean, you have a small window to do CMA Fest because of the stadium. You can't move it to September because obviously the stadium is going to be in use. So I don't think they really had much of a choice.
Or August, because that's preseason.
Yeah.
If you're planning on.
You're in a very small window for that. So I don't really think they had a choice. And I believe, as you said, Bonnaroo's been moved to September. I think it's the same time as Pilgrimage Festival. Which is obviously another one that happens out in Franklin. So they're going to be around the same time. But, look, I mean, they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anybody expects anything that is scheduled for early June, late May, early June, to happen as planned.
And the Atlanta United president came out and said the MLS will do their entire season. Okay. So you miss 4 months, you're still going to cram in the entire MLS season?
Did you guys see that? Yeah, and that's another one because, I mean, like for Nashville SC, they're sharing the stadium not only with the Titans, but TSU plays a lot of their home games there too. So you're going to have some logistics to work out with that. So, you know, what does that mean? But, yeah, I don't see that happening right now. And, like, with baseball and MLS, I mean, they're going to have shortened seasons. That's just kind of how I see it happening.
Yeah. We'll come back, Thomas Vokoun, to kick off the fourth and final hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this Tuesday. We'll do that next.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.